Welcome to the Erickson Covenant podcast. We are so glad that you've joined us today. We confess that we don't have all the answers, but as a community, we seek to find and follow Jesus and to discover daily the life he has always wanted for us. We hope this message will be encouraging and will inspire you to take the next steps on your spiritual journey. If we can help you in any way, please connect with us. The easiest way is through our website at ericksoncovenant.ca. Let's get started.
So it's a privilege to be able to share with you this morning on the parables, those two parables that you just heard. My name is Peter Hambry, for those of you who don't know me. And it's good for us to be here, right, to think about the Word of God. And what is the kingdom of God? Do you have it clear in your mind what that is? Are you in it? Or are you excluded from it? Was it something in the past that's no longer relevant? Or is it something that's coming? Is it a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on earth, of the Messiah, for which we should be waiting? Is it a reality in a spiritual realm, which we sometimes call heaven, where God is reigning in a way we do not experience in our lives? Is it the church? Is it the fellowship made up of true believers today? Is it the reign of God in your heart? I ask the question, of course, because Jesus, in the passage that we were looking at today and which you just heard, he asks a question about the kingdom of God. And if we're to understand what he's saying, we have to know the background. What did Jesus' hearers think about the kingdom of God? Well, that was shaped largely by the Hebrew scriptures. Although in the Old Testament, the kingdom of God itself is never mentioned. But what we do see there quite clearly is the fact that God is presented as the king of the whole earth. He is presented as a special way as the king of the people of Israel. And then we find some prophecies that there's going to be a kind of Messiah coming, a descendant of King David, and he would be a king, a great king. Now, if you understand anything about the Bible, you'll know there was a gap of maybe 500 years or so between the writing of the last book in the Old Testament and when Jesus came. So all these scriptures were 500 years ago. Think about books that were written in the English language 500 years ago. Do you know any of them? You know? It's a long time ago. Our ideas have developed a whole lot in the last 500 years. And that happened in Israel too. There was a lot of thinking about what the kingdom of God was. But during that time also, just as we have books going back 500 years in the English language and other languages, there were books going back quite a long time when Jesus was born too. There were a lot of books, Jewish books, written in the Hebrew language or other languages, which they knew about, where they developed this idea of the kingdom of God. And from looking at these books, known as the apocryphal books, we know that at the time of Jesus, at least among quite a portion of the Jewish people, it was expected that a messianic age was coming, and that it would be a temporary earthly prelude to the heavenly kingdom of God, from which it was separated by the resurrection of the dead and the final judgment. So that is the environment in which Jesus is talking when he gives these parables, another teaching on the kingdom of God. Now, the Gospels, the kingdom of God was a big part of Jesus' teaching. And maybe we pass that by sometimes because it comes out in separate places. But in the Gospels, about 80 distinct times are recorded when Jesus taught about the kingdom of God. It was a big part of what he was teaching. For example, in the Gospel of Mark, there's an introductory summary of Jesus' message. And that message makes it plain the kingdom of God was Jesus' central theme. Here is that verse. The time has come, Jesus said, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. That's a summary of what Jesus' message was. On another occasion in Luke, where Luke records that Jesus said his task was to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And then he invited his disciples, or commissioned them, to proclaim the same message. And then, as you all know, I think, he taught us to pray that the kingdom of God would come. I don't know how you pray that prayer, what you're thinking of, but we're told to pray for it. So Jesus was a wonderful teacher, and of course we love his teaching, and a large part of that was the parables. And then we're coming to two of those parables today. And so let's look at the two parables. The parable of the mustard seed in Luke 13 and 18 to 19. Jesus asked, what is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? It's like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds perched in its branches. So how many of you grow plants from seeds? Must be quite a few here, right? Yeah. That's a special thing to do. The small seed somehow contains everything that's needed to grow a little plant. It starts sending out little roots and a couple of little leaves. And then you get some different leaves growing. And then a stem comes up. And before long, there are more leaves on that. There's a bud. You get flowers coming. And then there's fruit of some kind that comes on it, or seeds. And then there's... It's incredible, isn't it, the way that happens? To me, it's amazing and wonderful process, how that all happens. And I think it's been that way through the centuries. This is just an amazing thing that happens in this earth we live on. How does it all happen? How do those leaves all come in the right order? How does everything happen in the right order? Or the development of anything, developments of a human being, the person sitting next to you. How did that all happen, right? In the right order, till we have what we see today. I studied biochemistry in the university days because I found life fascinating. And the deeper I got into it, into studying it, the more fascinating I found it, and the more miraculous I found it. Because although you can get explanations for little parts of it, it's just, it's an awesome process. I'm growing some seeds at the moment. Some of them are flowering tobacco seeds. And I don't know if you know what they're like. There's some of these really tiny seeds. They're like dust almost. You get this tiny package that says it has hundreds of seeds in it, and there's just a little bit of dust in the bottom of it, right? Very difficult to sow when you're sowing it because they're so small. But they're so slow, and they're slow growing up to begin with. It just takes a while for them to get going. Then they really take off. So by the time August comes around, they're going to be plants up to here with lots of blossom with beautiful fragrance in the evenings. An amazing thing, right? Now, mustard seeds. Any of you grow mustards? Have you grown mustard? Yeah, some of you have. The mustard seeds aren't actually that small. They're not tiny like that. But they're small, probably compared to some of the grains and so on that were grown by the farmers in Palestine in the time Jesus was there. And Jesus used these as an example of this thing, because they could grow into plants. I understand up to 10 feet tall under the right situation. They're often smaller than that, but you know the way it is. Some are bigger. And Jesus makes the point that those mustard plants were big by saying the birds could perch in the branches. So perhaps he was saying there, yeah, it's a big plant, but there's something also else that he's saying there. You heard read a few minutes ago, if you were paying attention, two prophecies from the Old Testament by the prophets. where are we here? I've got to find the right place. Ezekiel and Daniel, they both give prophecies about trees and about birds being in the branches of those trees. And the birds in those two prophecies represent the nations of the earth. So Jesus then here is saying something a little more just than you've got the kingdom of God is like something tiny to something that grows big. He's saying that the kingdom of God also is somewhere where the nations find shelter, all the nations of the world, not just the Israelites. Okay, so that's the first of these two parables. The second one, the parable of the yeast. So again, Jesus asked, what shall I compare the kingdom of God to? It's like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. So these days, you know, you can buy purified yeast for making bread. That's the way most people do it, I think. And if you're making a large amount of bread, you just mix in more yeast. It's quite simple, right? But centuries gone by, they were unaware that yeast existed. They didn't know about those microscopic cells of yeast that were in the dough as it was rising. They just knew that if you had some wet flour or some wet meal, and if you left it long enough, it might start puffing up a bit. And if you made bread from that puffed up dough, it made a marvelous, wonderful, light bread that was a big, so much better than if you just made it from the quickly mixed flour and water, right? And they knew something else, that if you took a bit of this dough that had expanded, you put it in some more flour and water, that would very quickly, much more quickly, expand. Who makes sourdough bread here? How many have made your own or developed your own sourdough yeast? Not too many, yeah? That's a tricky process. It's a hit and miss. Sometimes if you don't put a yeast in it, it might work. If you wait long enough, and sometimes it'll work well, and sometimes it'll taste a little strange. But if you take the good dough with the good yeast in it, mix a bit of that into some fresh dough, then you get lovely bread again. Wonderful stuff. So that's another miraculous process. The people at the time of Jesus were well aware of it. Everyone knew what this was like. You'd keep a bit of the dough from the last time bread was made and you'd use it for your next batch of bread. And you mixed it in, and as long as you, bit by bit, you could build up to a large, to 60 pounds, apparently, in this. So there you are. This parable teaches something just a little different. It's in some ways like the first parable. You've got the idea of something small and something developing. But in this case, it's not developing into something big and intricate. Instead, it's something good moving all the way through a lot of other stuff. It's similar but a different take on it. So Joachim Jeremias, he wrote a well-known book about discovering the Bibles. And he summarized these two parables in this way. The meaning of the parables of the mustard seed and leaven, that's an old word for yeast, is that out of the most insignificant beginnings, which are a mere nothing to the human eye, God creates his mighty kingdom. So why, if you were reading through Luke and you came to these two parables, you might think, oh, they're on their own. They don't seem too much related to what went before, after. Maybe Luke just stuck them in there because he had to put them somewhere. But if you look at the text a little closely, that's not quite true, because these two parables, the way you start, and I can't show you the slide again right now, but the beginning, it starts with the word therefore, or sometimes it depends on the translation, it should just say then. And the point is that so then Jesus told these parables. So we have to think why. And that's why I had a larger passage read from Luke at the beginning. If you remember, in fact, when you heard it, if you were really with it, you'll remember that that was taught on 3 weeks ago. It was a while ago, 3 weeks, so you may have forgotten all about it. But Tom preached on that passage. So that's the passage about the healing of this woman who was bent over. Great miracle. But it caused a bit of a furor in the synagogue where he did it, because he was doing something that was considered work. The idea of healing was work. Jesus did it on the Sabbath in the synagogue. The synagogue, head of the synagogue, he was a little upset, and he said, you shouldn't heal on the Sabbath day. Jesus responded, right, if you remember, and said, well, if you can look after your animals on the Sabbath day, surely I can look after this sick woman. And so there was a kind of, the summary of what happened, just the last verse of that passage that Tom preached on in verse 17. So then when he said this, all Jesus' opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. It must have been, you know, an incredible time to be with Jesus. I often, maybe many of us, just wish we'd been there, right? When he was living on earth. Exciting things were always happening around Jesus. And the people were inevitably wondering, okay, was this the coming of the kingdom of God? Was this the Messiah, the great king? You know, Jesus, on one occasion previously, he'd done a great miracle. He'd provided food for 5,000 people on one occasion. And John, in his gospel, tells us that following that miracle, the people were so sure this was the Messiah, they wanted to make him king right there. Jesus ran away to the mountains and hid, because he didn't want to be made king right then. His kingdom's coming, but first he had to die. He had to go through other things in order for the kingdom to come properly. So here, though, there was not a rebellion forming that we know of. They were just excited, but weren't ready to make him king. And that gave him an opportunity to speak about what the kingdom of God is like. Right? It's not going to start immediately with military glory. It was already there. You could tell that from the miracles. Starting small. But that was going to become mighty. But the growth might be slow, but would be miraculous. That's what both these parables teach. You just didn't know quite how it was happening, but it happens. You can get used to it happening. It's not normal. It's the work of God. And that growth will be inevitable. So, summarizing then, the kingdom of God, as Jesus presents it here, had tiny beginnings. And in a tiny one place, Its growth is magical. By magical, I mean that we kind of understand it, but not really. We can get used to the growth, but we don't know how it's happening. Over time, the kingdom becomes something big, strong, and welcoming. And over time, it penetrates and transforms society. Christians are people of hope. Right? We inevitably will be, as we understand the nature of the kingdom of God, people of hope. Doesn't mean that we will not experience setbacks. History shows this clearly, right? That if you look back at where Christianity has really boomed in the past, North Africa at one time was a center of Christian civilization. And these days it's mostly a Muslim place. And it's been that way for centuries. Europe was a center of Christian civilization for a long time. These days, it's largely secular. But nevertheless, overall, the church shows an ability to grow, a strong ability to grow and reach out in new ways. And there are vital expressions of Christianity appearing in every part of the world, currently growing massively in some places, like sub-Saharan Africa. So Jesus' words clearly give us hope for this world we live in. This world has always been chaotic and dangerous in many places and many ways. There's nothing new about chaos that we see. There have always been wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes and avalanches, floods and fires. But God's purpose is clear. And as we grasp it, it's going to give us a hope that should bring internal peace and security. Now, how do these parables relate to us at Erickson Covenant Church? Getting down to who we are, right? How are we faring as a window into the kingdom of God in this community, this country? Are we similar to a growing seedling? Or are we a spoonful of leaven for our community? One of the fears I have when I make wine is what we call a stuck fermentation. And it's when the yeast seems to give up before the job is done. And it can be a very difficult situation to get over. And sometimes, maybe, does it seem that way at Erickson Covenant Church, that the fermentation has got stuck? The kingdom, the growth has stopped. You know, but then it gets underway again. And we get glimpses of God's mysterious and beautiful life. God isn't done with us yet. He's not withdrawn his spirit. The end is not yet. That belongs to Jesus. And wherever there is the yeast, as there is here, there is an inevitable movement to conclusion. Be thankful. Be watchful. Be full of hope. The kingdom is here. And it cannot be quenched. But personally, how are you doing? Like, you may be in one of those periods of personal life when you look at yourself and you think, where is the leaven? Where's the spirit? What's happened to my excitement and joy at the life of God that was sometimes there in and around me? What's happened? You may sometimes have enjoyable times, but actually they're not times in prayer or deep worship or in letting the good news bubble up out of you. So has the Holy Spirit gone to sleep? No. Has God died? No. Have I gone blind and deaf? Yeah, well, of course God cannot die And there is a way back to knowing the life of God. And, you know, Paul once said to the Philippians, he said it. He said, I'm confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's remember who Jesus is. Let's remember what the kingdom of God is. Let's be people of hope, and let's live our life accordingly. Let's pray. Lord God, you know, sometimes we don't see the way we should, and sometimes we're upset that things are not happening the way we think they should be going. Sometimes we wonder about what you're up to. Sometimes we wonder just what's going on altogether. Enable us to see and just grasp the meaning of these two parables just right in our hearts, so that we are people of hope, that we don't get pulled down into depression away from who you are, for what you're doing. And in fact, Lord, we pray that you will bring that yeast to work inside us, so that we will be a little window into your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening in today. We hope you feel encouraged and challenged. If you know someone who would benefit from what you have heard today, please share this podcast. For more information, or if you have questions, you can connect with us through our website, ericksoncovenant.ca. You can also find us on Facebook by searching for Erickson Covenant Church.